Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
O Christ. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
You may be seated. The people of God and the birds sing Alleluia. Today is the day of Pentecost. This is one of the great festivals of the church year. I want to tell you a little bit about Pentecost, though, because it wasn't originally ours. It wasn't the Christians' festival. It was borrowed from, in fact, the Israelites. The Israelites had the festival of Pentecost before we did. 50 days. It was a time to celebrate the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. Why 50 days? Why 49 days? Because it was 49 days from the time that the Israelites left Egypt in slavery to when they arrived at Mount Sinai. 49 days. And so on the 50th day, it's called for the celebration of the giving of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. This is a beautiful, beautiful, rich, rich celebration. And it even goes further back. It's also part of I kind of want to say it's okay that we borrowed it because the Israelites borrowed it too. Because it was actually a harvest festival before that. And in fact, one of the things that to this day, in the festival of the Pentecost among Jews is that they celebrate by reading the book of Ruth, of all things. Do you know the book of Ruth, right? Ruth is the Moabite woman who marries the mother, who marries the son of Naomi. And they go to Moab because there's a big, there's no food in Israel. So they go to Moab, they move. Unfortunately, the sons and Naomi's husband both die, leaving Naomi with two daughters-in-law, one of whom goes back to her people, but Ruth stays with Naomi and immigrates back to Israel and stays with Naomi. And then eventually the story goes that Ruth meets her husband during the harvest. So it ties together this whole business of the harvest also with the giving of the law at Sinai. So it's two things being celebrated. And then it's also very cool because that story of Ruth ends up being that Ruth and Boaz, her husband, become the great grandparents of King David himself. So anyway, all that is going on. And so 50 days, Pentecost comes. The day of Pentecost comes, and people are already in Jerusalem. They're there, and they're there for the festival. But the folks who are there gathered on that day of Pentecost, that we, as we know it, they aren't all just there for the festival. A lot of them live there. There are people who are dwellers of Jerusalem. All of those folks from different parts of the world, they dwell there. They live there. There are visitors from Rome and other parts, yes. But it's not just visitors. Those folks are immigrants. And the church pours out its first, the Spirit fills the room first, and then it fills the individuals, and they go pouring out onto the streets, and this is their first public announcement as what we will soon be know as the Christian faith. This is the first public action. And it's with a bunch of immigrants from Jerusalem. Interesting. And those who listen, they're saying, well, what is this? You know, and I don't know if we get to it all, but they're saying, like, the curious ones are like, wait a minute, those guys are Galileans. How can they be speaking each in our language? They're not that smart. They didn't learn all these languages, right? And others are going more philosophically, well, what can this mean? And then the cynical ones are going, they've had a little too much wine to drink. They're filled with new wine. We didn't get to read this part, but that's what happens. And then Peter stands up immediately and says, people of Jerusalem, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock. No, this is the outpouring. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. Listen to that word. All flesh will receive the Spirit of God. So, the question that is really intriguing to me is that whole business of not so much that, you know, they think they're drunk, and not really so much that these are Galileans, how can they speak in that own language? That's fascinating. But the question, what does this mean? Which is a good Lutheran question. Luther does that in his catechism. What does this mean? But it's not what the words say. In the Greek, it doesn't say, what does this mean? They say, what does this wish to be? Isn't that lovely? What does this wish to be, this event, this thing that we're watching? What does it want to be? Well, I think the first, it wants to be a lot of things. The first thing it wants to be is this, the transforming of mockery into dignity. When they say, oh, they're filled with new wine, Peter stands up with all of the dignity that the Holy Spirit has just filled him with, and he says, no, not that, but this. This is God working to bring God's Spirit upon all flesh. This is the work of God. And to say this, that every single person that we encounter, what if we said, wow, these are, well, they're different from us, they disagree with me and all of that stuff, they think differently, they speak differently than me, but what if what God is wishing in this event is that we say, every soul is a vessel of the Spirit of God. Every single person we meet is a vessel of the Spirit of God. Would that change how we interact with one another? Would that not draw us into the dignity that Peter steps into on that day of Pentecost? Oh, I think that's delicious. But that's only the beginning. Because it also wishes to be this. The Spirit that brooded over the water, the wind that brooded over the primordial chaos to bring forth creation, it wishes to be that come back again for recreation of the earth and of its inhabitants. So in large things, like the care of the earth, which, oh my goodness, we're really struggling to care for the beautiful earth that we have been granted to tend to. Are we tending to it the way we should? Big questions, and also smaller questions, like how it transforms the inhabitants of this earth. The Spirit of confession, of repentance and forgiveness. This happens in really small ways and big ways, but in a small way. Just the other day, I was having a conversation with a couple of people, and it was a good conversation. They were there to support me. They were talking about different things, and something came up, and all of a sudden, it clicked in me. And I started being really kind of belligerent and angry and resistant and feeling really good about that. And the next morning, I went away from it feeling kind of good about it. But then the next morning, it just smack. These days, I've been being hit in the morning with revelations. I don't know what's going on. But here it is, another morning revelation. Wait, what was that all about? I wasn't speaking in the spirit of Jesus. I wasn't listening with the mind of Jesus. I was speaking and listening with the spirit of being a Sicilian. Why did I need to do that? I didn't need to do that. And so I quickly emailed the two people that I was talking with, and I confessed that in that part I had been possessed by the spirit of Siciliano, and I signed it in delightful repentance, Pastor, because it was delightful. It was delicious to realize what had happened. And it felt like a Pentecostal moment to me. Like, oh, yeah, I really messed that up. And, oh, isn't this delightful? I get to repent of that. And I get to ask forgiveness. And one of them even wrote back in Italian forgiveness. It was beautiful. So, this wishes to be the recreation of all the earth and of all of us inhabitants. And in our inhabitants by our repentance and our forgiveness. This is how we are to live in the spirit of Jesus. And there's more. It wishes to be the regathering of that which was scattered by the arrogance of trying to build a tower all the way up to heaven. The Tower of Babel. Remember when God just said, nope, they're not going to be able to speak to each other anymore. They aren't going to be able to communicate. This is the gathering of that which was scattered. So that all people could hear in their own native language the good news of God. And as I said before, these people are all immigrants. And so what would it be like to think about that? To think that we are all being gathered in. We are all being gathered in. And we are all being filled, as the scripture says, all flesh is being filled with the Spirit of God. And I think this story wishes to give us another way of understanding how to be welcoming. To really live into the idea that yes, every single person, no matter what they look like, no matter what they speak, is a vessel of God's Holy Spirit, nothing less. Renewal. And it wishes to be the wind that blew through the valley of dry bones. Remember when God brings Ezekiel to the valley of dry bones where people have been massacred and asks, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you know. And all of a sudden the bones start coming to life and connecting to each other. And then God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the wind. Bring the wind, the spirit, the breath, all the same. It's one word for all of those things. And Ezekiel prophesies and the wind comes and brings life to the valley of dry bones. Where are the valley of dry bones? Feels to me like over this past year, you could talk about anywhere from New York to New Delhi, where there are dry bones, where there was a sense of hopelessness, a sense of death being the last and most powerful thing. And we're still living in it. And our brothers and sisters across the globe are still struggling and in the valley of dry bones. And this wishes to be the sign of hope for people who are hopeless. And it isn't just about COVID. There's violence everywhere. Thanks be to God, we have a ceasefire in Israel and Palestine. But the animosity. This wishes to be a sign of hope. To bring the breath of life into the valley of dry bones. Our black brothers and sisters will tell us about that too. People of color in our own country. And it isn't just here, it's everywhere. Dry bones. Hopeless. This wishes to be the Spirit moving in those places, in those valleys, in those streets, in those hospitals. To say, death does not have the last word. God is spreading out God's Spirit, the Spirit of life, to revive all of us. And it wishes more. It wishes to be the flames of that bush that Moses turned aside to see, out of which God spoke the divine name, and gave Moses a divine calling. Go speak to Pharaoh. Go set the people of Israel free. Go and I will be with you. The Spirit, the tongues as a fire landing on each individual, giving us also that divine calling to go and speak words of freedom and liberation and redemption, freedom from sin and death. This is our calling, church. We are called into being in order to speak, gathering in freedom. Freedom from death, freedom from sin, freedom from oppression. This is our divine calling. And this story, this Spirit wishes to be that handing over to us. It's like the Spirit of, it's like the tongues of fire are like God's hand anointing us, each of us. Go. Speak what you know in your heart to be true. Prophesy. Prophesy to the dry bones in the valley. Prophesy to those who are being hurt. Prophesy to those who are caught in sin and death. Speak truth to them. Live the truth. This Pentecost event wishes to be nothing less than the freedom of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of God spread out onto all flesh. It is nothing less than the calling forth of the kingdom of God. That kingdom which Jesus has proclaimed in word and deed, and now has given us the Spirit to proclaim in word and deed. Go forth. Proclaim. Go forth. Receive that Spirit. And may we never see the world the same again. Because every day, God and God's Spirit is recreating it and us. Amen.